I do want to send a welcome as well to our good friend Alex Jones in the back there, who's holding his brother's baby, brother and their wife, Abby. Just so you know, there's no possibility you'll be able to pry Abby from the arms of a Jones today. Don't even try it. It will not go well. So, a reading today from Psalm 138. There's no sheet to go with it. You can look at it along in your red pew Bible, but my translation is a little different. You'll notice some changes along the way. But a text of thanksgiving. A Psalm of David, 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. That is to say, before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. And on the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. And though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever climbed a mountain and not known it? It's a strange question, I know. But I had this experience back when I was a wilderness counselor at a Bible camp in Montana around Flathead Lake. And the staff was in the midst of their two-week training, getting prepared for campers to be coming on site. And the staff, we made our lunches, and we went off on a hike. The camp had a lot of land, and it had a particular trail that would lead to a vista point in which you would see the entire Mission Valley, which is really quite beautiful from there. The lake is just the largest freshwater lake, natural-made freshwater lake west of the Mississippi, carved by really an immense lake that once was there called Lake Missoula, which used to cover the entire western region of the state of Montana and Idaho. And we took off in the midst of kind of this rainy day in which there was fog everywhere. You were all familiar with fog here. And it was kind of a dreary day. And we were walking along, and all we knew that there would be rises in the trail, and then it would fall off, and there'd be rises in the trail, and it would fall off. We were kind of cold, wet, exhausted, and thinking, why are we going on a hike on a day like this? And we just kept pressing on, though, and there would be some difficult rises ahead, and we would be helping one another across various fallen trees, a little mud on the trail, making our way up. We finally get to an outcropping of rocks. We said this is a good place to sit down and to have some lunch. And we sat there. The mood was a little bit dour, wondering, it'd be fun to go back down or continue in this fog. And as we were sitting there eating our lunches, someone had the foresight to say, hey, everybody turn around. And sure enough, the fog had cleared, and we were looking at the vista of the entire Mission Valley behind us when we're looking forward. And we realized we'd actually reached the pinnacle. It was actually the highest point we could have gone, even though we had just sat down and we were hoping for some kind of respite. And the view was amazing. We looked out on it, and the mood completely changed. We began to see how far, in fact, we had come because we could look down quite a ways to where our camp base was. And in that moment, we kind of all had this devotional experience in which we realized that it may not appear that we've come very far. It may appear like it's been a worthless walk along the way, but sometimes those clouds clear. We begin to see how far, in fact, we have been brought. We begin to see what it is that we've been walking towards, a view that we hoped would be beautiful, and it was, but an experience that we had done together. We had climbed a mountain and not really known it. We just thought we had exhausted ourselves for no reason at all. I think about that with respect to our life. There's this quote we have on the front of the bulletin from C.S. Lewis. It's taken from one of his children's books, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. That's an interesting quote you'll see on a lot of books. It's funny how day by day nothing changes, but when you look back, everything is different. We live day in and day out, just pressing on, plodding ahead. The days kind of run together after a while. They don't seem to be much different than the one before. But there is a point at which, particularly with the eyes of faith, one can look back and to see that, in fact, what was ordinary, what was very pedestrian along the way, what seemed to be just drudgery day in and day out, when we look back on it, we begin to see that there is actually not just a happenstance to it, not just kind of the cards that we had been dealt along the way. Rather, we begin to see that there had been a design, there had been a plan in place in which, yes, even the valleys that were difficult to walk through, as well as the vistas that appear through the clouds once in a while, are all equally from the hand of God, guiding us and leading us along the way. The psalmist in this text, David, is describing this very thing. It's a thanksgiving psalm for deliverance from trouble. And this is a psalm that became dear to my heart about 13 years ago. Don't assume that if someone graduates from seminary, they know their Bibles well. It's a big book. And even if you've read it once, you really haven't read it until you've read it 10 times and read it 15 times. It begins to settle in, begins to sink in. But I had been on a journey in which I was pursuing serving in a church, and had just returned from a year of overseas study following seminary, and I was living back in my old room in my parents' house. This is not what a graduate with a master's degree in divinity is supposed to do with their life, is to be back home with mom and dad, wondering what the future holds. And it was during this time when I was home that I began to have a call to ministry that would be, I wanted to be a solo pastor of a church. I had been given opportunities to be an associate, and began to feel the sense that this wasn't where God was calling me to. So I changed my resume to consider some solo calls, and the phone calls stopped. And the invitations to come interview dried up. And I got a note in the mail from my professor, my mentor in college, Jim Edwards. And he's a great teacher, and he's one that has guided me through so much in life. He's not known for his pastoral sensitivity. He's a teacher. He's very direct. But he sent me this note that as I was flipping through my Bible this week, it fell out. And he writes, "Dear Troy, in the midst of these days of thinking and searching and waiting and listening for God's word to you and will for you, I was reminded of Psalm 138:8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. This is my prayer for you this fall, that God will, as he promises, fulfill his purpose for you, and that you'll be assured of it even when it remains as yet unknown." Really a prescient line there. "That you'll be assured of his purpose even when it remains as yet unknown. Our thoughts and prayers are very much with you, Jim. And of course, he's speaking on behalf of his wife, Janie. The date was 9/14/01. For those who were here 12 years ago, the date of my installation was 8/10/02. So, a year later is when it all came to be. The waiting would endure for quite some time despite this very thoughtful note. And what this text does in 138, it's not merely a person hoping for God's purpose to be made clear along the way. He's actually thanking God even when things have not been put together in such a way that you could see it all unfold. He's telling that no matter how it's playing out, I'm going to bow down to you in front of your temple. I'm going to give you thanks with my whole heart. Even though I am in the midst of trouble right now, my heart will not be drawn towards bitterness for things not unfolding the way I think they should. My heart will not be inclined to complaint, even though my enemies are rising up against me. My heart will not be constantly wishing for things other than your will and your glory. And therefore, I give you thanks even for where I am now. And I love how, even in the midst of hoping, he's knowing that God's going to fulfill his purpose for him. The way he finishes is still kind of a, God, you've made a promise. And this last verse, don't forsake the work of your hands. It's like, you've put a lot of work into me, God. You've brought me through a lot. Don't you give up on me. I'm not giving up on you. A heartfelt kind of plea at the end of it all. And I love this text. Because thanksgiving should be at the very heart of who we are, even when we are waiting. Even when we are not seeing it the way God sees it. Even when the pain is difficult. Even when, yes, enemies are rising up against us and opposing us along the way. Even when we know the enemies are sometimes ourselves, that we can be our own worst enemies at times, but we can be thankful to God for what he's brought us through. And I look back when this thing fell out of my Bible this week, I look back at a day in and day out of being a pastor, and I love the quote, is that it seems that day by day, things are quite the same. But when you look back, everything is different when you see the hand of a sovereign God guiding you and leading you through it. You see how he used the dark spaces. You see how he used the valleys along the way. You see how he, in fact, did not let evil have the last word, but rather lifted truth. And that truth always, in the end, shines brighter than the darkness that attempts to cover it. And for you this morning, as you look back, even in the midst of what seems to be a pedestrian walk through a foggy existence, maybe for a month, maybe for a year, maybe for a longer season than that, I hope that even in the glimpse of the scriptures here, that you'd be able to have a view through the fog to see the way in which a sovereign hand has not forsaken the work of his hands, that he has not abandoned you in the will that he has for you, and that you can leave this place assured in the same way that the Lord will fulfill his purpose for you because his steadfast love endures forever. And acknowledging him along the way, saying, I will give thanks to you, but you do not forsake the work of your hands. You have brought me through so much. And in light of this opportunity to hold to that truth, but also to give thanks, I want to close today with you being given the opportunity to very briefly, rather than 10,000 words or more, say how looking back is a little different. What are you thankful for? I'm thankful for God's plan that unfolds in his beautiful timing, even in the midst of the hardships. And thankful, of course, for the blessing of family and loving wife and boys. What are you thankful for? For Joey and family?
I'm thankful for Joey and our growing family.
Thank you for Joey as well. Cutie, yeah.
I'm thankful for a loving church.
Thankful for a loving church. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, yes. Yeah. Thanks.
I'm thankful for the people that have come before me in this church.
People who come before you in this church, yeah.
I'm thankful that I had 61 years before Dick.
Yeah, 61 years with Dick, absolutely.
I'm thankful for Thanksgiving because you don't have to worry about buying a gift.
Wow. Marcia, you are so blessed. You are so blessed. Jalen? Thankful for the Lord finally teaching you patience after all these years. How's that? Yeah.
I'm thankful for such a giving congregation that gives so much to the youth of this community.
Mm-hmm. Giving to the youth. Yeah.
I'm thankful for the opportunities for missions.
Mm-hmm. Opportunities for missions for your kids. Yeah. Dixie.
I'm thankful for corrected health. All of that.
Mm-hmm. That's the answers to prayers there for health. Absolutely. April.
I'm thankful that God keeps his promises.
Mm-hmm. Thankful God keeps his promises. Huge. Huge. Okay, you want to go ahead.
I'm thankful for this congregation, for their thoughts and prayers in the Lord for a successful surgery.
Yeah, for your health. Yes. It's doing well. You look great. Yeah, your parents and their health. Yeah. So a few more hands. Vanessa. Mm-hmm. Multitude of gifts. Yeah. It was Richard and then Joel. Richard. Thankful to serve. You and Sherry. Yeah. Joel. Thankful that we can recognize these blessings, that we're not, God's opened our eyes to see it. Well said. Well said, yeah.
I'm thankful for the cloud of witnesses.
Thankful for the cloud of witnesses that gone before us in faith. Amen.
Thankful for the cycle of life.
Thankful for the The beauty in God's cycle of life. Yeah, really good. Let's pray, and we'll stand and sing. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, and we thank you for all that's been said. We are blessed. Blessed by you to be a blessing. Continue to lead us in that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.